Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Quint Studer is here. Quint's a 14-year member of our Brain Trust, founder of Studer Community Institute, a nonprofit research-based organization. He's also the founder of the Studer Group, which is a consulting firm helping organizations get better. He's the author of Healing Physician Burnout, Maximizing Performance, and other books, The Great Employee Handbook, Building a Vibrant Community. That's another one I'm looking at right here, and he's our good friend, Quint Studer. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, and I'm very excited about Building a Vibrant Community. Last week I was in Des Moines doing a presentation. I've got a lot up, and it's sort of neat. It's really a book geared for small and mid-market cities who
right.
really want to sort of, I guess if there's one goal, it's keeping your talent home.
That's exactly right. Well, that's a big deal these days for small businesses. I mean, for small communities, isn't it? The attraction of the urban lifestyle to the young people is very strong. What are you doing? What success are you having with that?
I think we're having a lot of success, and that's how it all started. It all started 2005. I got involved in our own local community in Pensacola. And though, you know, you might think about, oh, what are some things we can do? We were looking at downtowns and that night. Basically, we did some polling and we found out what was really on people's minds was how do I keep my son or daughter home? You know, not that I want to force them to be home, but I'd love them to have that option.
Right.
Sort of thinking, as soon as I can, I'm going to get out of here. How do I get some people back that have left? Now, I say if a small community can do three things. Keep the majority of your talent home, get some of your talent back, and get new talent, life gets good.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of studies, and we found out people wanted, like you said, they wanted some of the same things they can get in an urban environment, which is that vibrancy, which is a... So we really got focused on how to create a more vibrant community, and that meant downtown. And downtown truly became a tactic. I tell people... Creating a vibrant downtown is a tactic, not a goal. But if you do the tactic right, you achieve your goal.
And this is a reversal of the tide that has shifted over the last 30, 40 years, isn't it? Away from downtown. Now we're shifting back towards downtown, aren't we?
You have to. First of all, it helps you financially in any community because you're looking at your tax base. And there's a lot of confusion. A downtown store, because of its density, will probably pay more taxes per square foot than a big mall,
right?
Or
right.
Walmart and some of those things. So, you also the other thing we're finding is people are now starting to understand it's okay to go up. And what I mean is it's okay to go up high downtown because
mm-hmm.
that creates that tax density, which helps you deal with again your solvency. But the other thing it does is it helps the environment. You don't take up as much green space, so. I think once people get it, it really clicks. And one of the things in my book, so I think what gets a lot of attention is the downtown stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
talking about people in Janesville, Wisconsin recently. You know, you program it. Once you get a lot of people downtown, then you can get your small entrepreneurs going, and then you get to your office. People want to, you know, work down there. And then you get your residential, which is really your key. I had Jeff Speck in here, the expert on walkability Monday. Once you get your housing, all of a sudden a whole bunch of good things start happening. But I think a part of my book that gets missed, because the sort of excitement part is the downtown part, something that you've been doing for years, is really making sure those small businesses, yeah, that you start them, but can you hold them? 80%
mm-hmm.
of small businesses don't make it 1 year. So we've done an awful lot, and that's a big part of my book is small business revitalization also.
There's another thing in the air that I'd like to ask you about that I think is a big deal, and that's the adjustments that economic developers need to make in their thinking. Yes, I know they want to bring in the big plant, but the truth is, you know, there are fewer and fewer big plants, but there are more and more people who have 2, 3, 4, 5 employees, or maybe they just got one right now. In 5 years, they'll have 3 or 4. But they have the ability, a lot more and more of these small firms have the ability to make a lot of, bring a lot of revenue back to the community, a lot higher density, a lot higher concentration of revenue than per employee than the plants do. What do you think?
And
their footprint, their impact, their impact is much less negative too, and their footprint, their carbon footprint's smaller. What do you think?
Two other things. They're probably not getting incentives. And the other thing is the fact that they're likely to stick because they are there. They have been local. When the financial wind blows, they just don't leave. And I think one of the things that we have found is economic developers can spend so much time attracting people that aren't there that they miss the true growth. 60 to 80% of all jobs are created locally and organically.
Yep.
So, for example, we have 195 small businesses at our round tables, and you know, which are round tables, they come in and we do some skill building with them on a regular basis. I guarantee you, each one of them added one or two jobs in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, all of a sudden, that's 400 new jobs you've created with no incentives, and they're in the community. So, I think the challenge is helping these small businesses run better.
That's right, but also getting them to believe that they're valued. This is where the local communities need to let these people know they're valued. Quinn, I'm going to give you 1 minute to tell us about your event coming up in November. Can you do that real quick?
Sure. Yep, it's called Andrew Cott, and you're going to be there, and so is John Gordon at the Energy Bus, and Kevin Sheridan on employee engagement, and it's for small businesses. It's in cedareye.org. It's only about $300, and basically in 2 days, you're going to walk out being able to run your business a lot smaller and interacting with about another 400 or so people.
And tell us about the website, how people can find out about it.
They can go to cedareye.org and Entrecon, and they'll get right to it, and they can, again, register. We've already got, I think, like 170 people, which is the earliest we've ever had this much number. It's our fourth year, so it's getting a pretty good reputation.
Good.
And it's a money-back guarantee. If they don't like it, we'll give them all their money back.
Can't be a deal like that. Studeri, the letter I on the end, .com. So check it out, folks, and see what you think.
We'll
come
org.
Back. .org. I'm sorry. Studeri. Studeri.org. Remember that. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how to put structures in your small business so you can grow the right way. Quinn Studer and I will be right back. 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.